Christ is arisen! Alleluia!
He is
risen indeed. Alleluia! In the name of Jesus, amen. You know, the women weren't expecting that when they got to the tomb on that Sunday morning. They were expecting death. They were expecting a dead body to be in that tomb, that they could come and anoint the body with spices one last time. But they weren't thinking, were they? They forgot. There was a big stone rolled into the trough in front of the entrance in the tomb, and they weren't going to get in. Oops. It shouldn't any of it have been a surprise to them at all. Not at all. The scriptures had proclaimed it. They had heard it all of their lives. Your Holy One, O Lord, will not see corruption, said the psalmist. Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives. They had heard it. And they had heard it from the mouth of Jesus himself. The Son of Man will be delivered over into the hands of sinful men, and they will crucify him. But on the third day, he will rise. But they forgot. They were confronted with death. And everybody knows that death is final. Death is fearsome. Death scares the wits out of everybody. It scares you white. And we all know well that when there is a death, that loved one doesn't come back anymore. It's not the movies, it's real life. And no matter what anybody can say or what anybody can do, there is nothing that can really be said or be done that is going to bring the loved one back. The women had lost a loved one. A loved one upon whom they had pinned their hopes for the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting in the forgiveness of their sins. And he was now laid to his final resting place. They forgot. The words of Job made a difference to Job. Even though he was going to die and his body would fall asleep in death and he would decay in his body, he would be with his Lord. He believed in the resurrection of the body. Long before the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed or the Athanasian Creed confessed it. And that is because the Word of God had been there like that, about that, from the beginning. So, what could have been the difficulty here? Could it have been that the Word of God, to believe the Word of God, was the tough thing? People are asked to believe a whole lot of words these days. Have you been listening? You'll hear things like, well, believe you me. Or believe the woman running for public office. Or believe the president of the United States. Or believe your boss. Believe you me. Believe what you read in the papers. Oh, that's right, we don't really read the papers anymore, do we? Believe what you see on the news or you find it out on Facebook. Believe what the latest twit from Twitter gives you. Believe your doctor. Believe the test results. I better get a second opinion on that. But then at the second opinion, I'll believe the second opinion. Always believe that no matter what the difficulty is in your life, the cavalry is going to come riding over the hill to rescue you. Believe the technology. Believe this. Believe that. Believe the other thing. It would appear that believing really ought to be the simplest thing for people today to do. But believing the Word of God, believing in the Word of God, it doesn't seem to be one of them. You know why? Because it's simply not in any person to believe the Word of God in the first place. It just isn't in them. Such belief only comes by God's Spirit through preaching, hearing, listening to, paying attention to God's Word. And the Spirit of God is not in people until they hear that Word of God, until they are, as Jesus would say, baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit of God gives them that faith so that they might believe. There is nothing in any of us but sin and death. And because of that, it leaves every man born of woman into this sinful, fallen world only believing what their eyes can see and what their hands can feel and what their mind tells them makes sense. To them, Jesus, risen from the dead, is the gardener coming to take care of the flowers, you know, make sure the flowers are under grave, make sure that the tombs aren't disturbed, all the rocks are in place in front of the mouth, that kind of thing. Isaiah the prophet and St. Paul the apostle both are in full agreement with that. Paul repeats what God through Isaiah had said centuries earlier. Who has believed our report? The answer is no one. No one. Peter and John peeked in the tomb. He wasn't there. Well, the women were right. Somebody came and stole him away. Mary walked away. Boo-hoo. Gardener, tell me where you've taken him so that I may come and get him. No one could believe the words, he is not here, he is risen. Because it is beyond the belief of any sinner apart from God's Spirit through this word of proclamation. He is not here, he is risen is the word of God to you into your hearing, through which right now the Spirit is working to strengthen that faith that he first gave you at your baptism, where you were buried with Christ by baptism into his death, and where you were raised with Christ by baptism in his resurrection. As the choir beautifully sang it this morning, we will live forever. As Jesus said, he who lives and believes in me will never die. Don't tell me that, Pastor. I saw the body in the coffin. He was dead. Death is the gateway now to life everlasting. Christ has shattered the bonds of death. He has torn away the gates of death. Heaven is open to you because of what he has delivered to you. He is risen as he said he would, and he rose not for his own health, not to show how great he was, and everybody could say, wow, God's really great. I mean, he can even raise up his son out of death. He rose out of death for you so that you could be absolutely certain that the word that the angel spoke was true to you too, each and every one of you individually. He is not here. He is risen. He is risen for you. He is alive, as he said, for you. And Christ's resurrection demonstrates to you that the power of sin, the power of death over you, and hell itself, which threatens at the point of death, scares the life out of people because they know it down deep inside. They will pay for their sins. Christ has washed it all away in his blood shed for you on the cross, and he rose on the third day as proof positive. This is for you, the forgiveness of sins, everlasting life. The grave, the coffin is not the end, dear ones. It has only just begun. And you and I have only just begun to live at that point. Because as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we shall walk in newness of life with him forever in the Heavenly Father's kingdom, which will have no end, no way, no how, never. The joy of this day is seen at that tomb with two apostles who would run up there and it didn't make sense. They couldn't believe. They didn't yet understand the scriptures, John said. And Mary Magdalene, there she is, sobbing her eyes out in the garden. She didn't yet understand the scriptures. She turned to see Jesus, thinking he was the gardener. She didn't yet understand the scriptures. Jesus is standing there, and when he says, Mary, Rabboni, and she runs up and she grabs him and she holds on to him. I'm not going to let you go anymore, Jesus. I want to hug you and hold you and keep you right here. You're never going to get away from me again. She didn't understand the scriptures. For Jesus came not so that we can hold on to him or take him by the hand and walk with him every day, and he lives at our house and he has dinner with us and he has a great Easter dinner because this is the day that he rose and we want to celebrate it with him. He came so that you might have life in him and have it abundantly in the forgiveness of sins that he brought for you. And he would give us that more sure than just holding on to him physically like Mary, who didn't understand the scriptures yet. He came so that when he ascended into heaven, he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh, upon the entire world, by his word going forth. World, he is risen! For you, your sins are forgiven. You are reconciled with your God. Thanks be to God. You will live forever. And when by the Spirit, the scriptures begin to open up, the simple clinging like Mary wanted to do, to hold on to her loved one like we want to do at the point of death, hold on to our loved one, the whole picture changes. In a resurrected Jesus, in a Jesus who opens the kingdom of heaven to you and to all believers, who has adopted you into his family by baptism, who has risen you with himself in baptism, who has promised you the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting and a blessed reunion with all of our friends and loved ones and in the faith who have gone before us. We understand that. We understand those scriptures. There is nothing to be silent about if we as Christians. There's nothing to be ashamed about. We understand the scriptures. We know their power. We know the power of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. He is risen. He is risen indeed for you now and forever. That is a news to shout out to the world without shame, because there is only one Jesus, one Lord, one faith, one word, one Holy Spirit, proclaiming one risen Christ for you. This day, dear friends in Christ, know that because Christ has risen, you too are risen in him, and you too will be raised up by him at the last day, because your sins are forgiven. In the name of the crucified and risen Jesus, for you, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.